22. We're still in Proverbs chapter 22. There is a section here that we've gotten into, and we've spent a couple weeks on this, but it's really a section that's kind of connected together, and so we're going to spend a week this week, and of course, after Easter, we'll get back to it and kind of conclude with it. But chapter 22, verse 17, let's go back there, verse 17. It says, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee." Okay, so number one, it is, as it says there in verse 18, it is pleasant. It is pleasant to know wisdom. You ever had kind of maybe an area of work, or maybe an area at home, or a skill set that you lacked? Like, yeah, obviously we all have had that. But there's something that you wish you knew more about, right? And to the point that you didn't know much about that. Now we have Google, so if we don't know something, we just Google, what's the answer to this? Or in my house, it's Alexa. What is, she gives you the answer. You don't have to think anymore. What a wonderful day we live in. You don't have to think for yourself. Electronics, AI does it for us. But sometimes there's things beyond just facts that we're trying to find is some discernment, right? And we want to find something. And I'm telling you, there's something pleasant about knowing the right answer. I'm not saying about knowing a answer. I'm saying knowing the right answer. There's something pleasant with that. So, this is the purpose of learning and hiding in our heart the words of truth. The very purpose of this is this pleasantness of it. And so, number one under that is that we have a ready answer for the decisions that we make. So the reason that we get this wisdom and we develop this wisdom and we give ear to it and we learn it and then we begin to apply it is so that we have this thing. We have a ready answer, right? It talks about there that it's on our lips. It's fitted in my lips. It's a ready answer. Now, I don't mean we're always quick-witted. I don't mean we have to be quick-witted. I mean that when something comes up, when we have wisdom, we begin to have those resources to know what's the right answer. Okay? Now, does that seem kind of simple to us? And I mean this, in some form or fashion, we're like, duh, right? Isn't that, we should, but we could take that for granted that we have the wisdom of God. And that when something comes up, and the longer that you're in church, I can remember when I first got in church, I'd hear my pastor saying stuff. I didn't know any of it. He would reference other books of the Bible, reference other stories, and talk about David. Now, this David guy must be pretty great because they talk about him a lot, right? And all these different things, and say some of these names, and everybody is like, and this story of like when Peter did this, and everybody's like, amen. You're thinking, I have no idea. And as time went on, we have more of that. And so when there's a reference to something, you're like, oh, okay, that's the illustration that's being, and we grab some of that. And so, listen, after a while, we're so familiar with the Word of God, hopefully, that we can, though, what can happen is we can take for granted the fact that the reason I can have the answer is because that I know the wisdom of God. So here's kind of maybe an area that we can struggle. I know I can sometimes. Is why don't they just know that? Why would you do that? I mean, you know, I'm like this. Why would somebody do that? Why would they say that? Why would they behave that way? Well, because they haven't received. Praise the Lord, it becomes somewhat so commonplace to us. But this is the very purpose of what the wisdom is, receiving the wisdom of God, that we have that ready answer. And I'm telling you, listen, folks, when we have the ready answer, it's pleasant. Makes life pleasant when we have that answer of what God wants me to do. So really, under this, A, my trust is in what? The Lord, right? My trust is in the Lord. And so, and in connection to that, really what I mean by that, or what it means by that is our trust is in the Lord. It's what it says there in this passage, that verse 19, that thy trust may be in the Lord. It's and in connection with that, in the Lord's ways. My trust is in His ways. Okay? If we trust Him, we trust His ways. Amen? That's connecting right there. We see that. If we trust His ways, we trust His wisdom, and we trust His direction. So, really just saying this, I follow Him. That's what it means to trust the Lord. It means I follow Him. Even when it doesn't make sense, or even when it's not easy, or even when it goes against my better nature, we'd say, goes against my better nature, right? Well, my better nature is still my flesh. So B, because of that wisdom, okay, because of the wisdom that I've received of God, I will not rob the poor of their wealth so I might have some gain. Okay, that's what we found that a couple weeks ago, verse 22. Rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. So number one, we cannot accept their foolishness as an excuse for taking advantage of them. Okay? So, in other words, we can't take the foolishness of those that don't have the wisdom of God. So meaning something like this, I can't say something like, well, if they're dumb enough to make the deal, I'm going to go ahead and take it. You ever heard somebody say, now we wouldn't say that, but we've heard somebody say something like that. If they're going to be dumb enough to make the deal, it'd only be right for me to take. People might say stuff like that, but in the wisdom of God, listen, no sir, no ma'am. We cannot do such things without consequence. It tells us in verse 23, for the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoil them. Listen, can I say number two? It isn't pleasant to be spoiled by the Lord. Okay, so this is why I say it's sometimes by saying I trust in the Lord when I'm going to follow His way, sometimes it goes against my better judgment. And I say this, man, I could, when I was a kid, I was a little boy, I was a young boy, I was really just an ignorant little boy. I can remember, there's a picture of me, I'm wearing shorts and cowboy boots. In New Jersey, that's where I was. I was in New Jersey on a vacation wearing shorts and cowboy boots. You're like, what is wrong with that kid? Who let me go like that? I wasn't with my mom. I was with some other folks and friends, and so it was their fault. But I can remember, I was a bad kid, and so I'm not justifying. I'm just trying to give you a little bit of an understanding. When I was a kid, I went through mail. I went in people's mailbox ripping open their mail. You're like, what is wrong with that kid? I don't know. I'm going to blame my mom. No, I'm kidding. But I found some money. And I went and found some money. I said, hey, I found this money. I lied, okay? And I found money. And I said, look at this money I found. And so I went and bought ice cream. Right? Man, you say, well, that's a great idea. No, that's a terrible idea. There's actually breaking up several federal laws and so forth. And threw away the mail afterwards. Some people, I think back on that. Those folks, anyway. So Fast forward, I go to the grocery store. Now I'm saved. I'm living for the Lord. Now I'm trusting in the Lord. I go to the grocery store. And I go and buy my groceries. I'm in a hurry. Get my groceries. They're coming out. Back in the day before we used all plastic, I had, you know, the green things, you know, dollar bills that came back. So I'm walking out. I'm looking at my money. I get out there and the woman gave me $10 too much change. So what I have to do? Hey, that's her problem. My gain, right? The Lord just gave me $10 extra. No, now I'm in a hurry, right? But now I have to go back in and say, hey, you gave me too much money, and here's your $10. And you know, what is the lady at the register? What's her? Wow, nobody's ever done that before, right? You know, whatever. And so she puts it in her. No, I'm kidding. But so, you know, sometimes we'll do stuff like that, or you push your grocery cart out and you realize you forgot to put something up there through the self-check, and you're like, oh man, I got to go back in and take care of that. And I've done this one time. I went home with something and realized it, and I went back like a day or two later and said, hey, I got this the other day. I didn't pay for it. I want to just, you know, and they just look at you like you're crazy. You know what I mean? They just look at you like you're crazy. And it is kind of crazy. It is. I'll be honest. It is crazy. But you know what? I can't go home with that. I can't let that sit there. I'm not going to, you know, open up some food and eat it or enjoy that anymore, because now I trust in the Lord. So it becomes different. Listen, and if I do things contrary to that, it's not pleasant. Right? It's not pleasant. So look here. Now, A under that. This is the reason for these words to be written for us. The words to be written for us. Verse 20 again. Have not I written in thee to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I may make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. So, therefore, we are to take this wisdom that we hear and apply it to our lives in spite of how it fits in the world's system of thinking. We are going to be different. We're going to be thought of being ridiculous. Sometimes we're going to be thought of being dumb, stupid, foolish. Why would you do that? Because I would rather have some pleasantness than to take the wealth that doesn't belong to me. Right? That doesn't make sense. Right? But, so see, also, do not associate with angry people. We learned that last week. Do not associate with angry people. Verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man, thou shalt not go. So the angry people, spending time with this, most assuredly will not lead to any pleasantness. Okay? Being around angry people will not lead to pleasantness. And so, rather, it will catch you in their trap, as it says in verse 25, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. The trap is this. The trap is thinking this. My life is pleasant when it's pretty miserable. You ever found yourself going down that road? Right? You're going down this road of thinking, I'm doing pretty good. I like this life. And the fact is you don't, but you've been caught in a snare, in a trap of actually convincing yourself and convincing others, I am very happy. Don't ask me why I'm happy. Okay, you say so, I'll take your word for it. And so what we can do is we can get in a trap of losing the joy of the Lord and the pleasantness of knowing God's word, because you know what really happens? We know that we're doing wrong. We know that we're not following the Lord. We're not trusting Him, and we lose our pleasantness. Now, number two, one of them. Verse 26. Be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are sureties for debts. Okay, we've talked about this a bit already. We talked about it back at the beginning of chapter 22. There we talked about some things about, I believe there was verse 7, the rich ruleth over the poor and the borrowers. So we talked about this a little bit, but in review is this. Number one, the Scripture does not condemn borrowing. It does not condemn borrowing. A, there are actual rules specified in the law on how borrowing was to take place. So sometimes what we do is we have a tendency to teach against bad practices. Right? That's okay. Right? Makes sense. Hey, don't play out in the street. It's a bad idea, you know. But sometimes what we can do is we can say, all debt is bad. You should never have debt. And we can say that in kind of a dogmatic way that makes it sound actually righteous and holy instead of just a good practice. Because there's times when people find themselves in a place that they, watch this word, that they need to be in debt. I don't mean want to be in debt. If you just want to be in debt so you can have the newest toy, that's a different problem altogether. But sometimes there's a need, and we find this happen throughout the Old Testament. We find this in the Scripture. There was time. There were rules on how to and how. Remember, we talked about this in the past. If it was of the brethren of the Jews, you didn't charge them usury. If you're trying to help somebody in their time of need, you don't charge them interest on that. You're trying to help them. But it does say for the stranger, we charge them usury. Okay, there's rules on there. Therefore, it's clearly not a sinful act, and at times it seems to be necessary. But number two, we can also find places in Scripture that sureties were issued. We find places, a couple places in Scripture, there's others. There's not a lot of talk about this, really, but there's a couple places. Judah, when he went down to Egypt during the time of the famine, right? And they went down there, and Joseph required a surety to go bring for Benjamin. And so Judah said, "I'll stay," so that Benjamin, he said, "I'll be," the Bible uses the word, he said, "I'll be surety for him." And so Judah said, "I will be the surety for him." So he sent, so Benjamin could go free. And so forth like this. So, of course, we know Joseph was doing a thing there. In the book of Psalm 119:122, the psalmist seeks and requests of God to be the surety for him for good. That's what he's saying. God, would you be my advance in a sense? Would you be my surety? Would you be my guarantee that for good? And so we find some of these kind of situations. And so, this phrase indicates a particular aspect in this wisdom. In verse 26 again, it says, "Be not one of them that strike hands." So this phrase actually kind of gives us a little bit of an idea of really what's going on here. The term seems to indicate this idea of a rash or hasty decision. It's one that's made quickly, without. And so, under this, we're going to cover this primarily, indicating that one has not thought through the implications of such an agreement. The concept, this thing of be not one of them that strike hands, is somebody that just quickly gets in an agreement. You ever known somebody, or you've been somebody that went and made a deal with somebody, you come back and there's like these kids that at school, they traded for Hot Wheels. But one kid traded a very valuable kind of rare Hot Wheel for a run-of-the-mill junk one. And his mom and dad knew he had a rare one. Like, why did they let him take it to school? I don't know, he snuck it to school, whatever. And he gets back and they find out, hey, you switched. So now the parents are like, no, you made it. What are you doing? So they get the parents like, you got to get that back from him, you know, kind of thing. So kids do that, and we're like, kids just trying to make friends, right? This thing of be one of them that strike hands are those that get into a deal, get into some kind of agreement without really thinking it through. It's hasty. It's rash and it's jumping into it. And that's the very meaning of rash and hasty, acting without thinking. So there's much wisdom on considering a matter before one bargains with it. We have this deal today in our society. So I've bought through the years, I don't know, 5 or 6 houses through my life. I've bought them. Most of them I didn't own very long, but I didn't really own any of them. Bank owned most of it. I owned a little piece of it, you know. And so when I first sat down to sign documents on the very first house my wife and I went and bought, I can remember thinking, man, this is ridiculous. All these pieces of paper. I mean, that stack was probably like that big. That won't start your process today. The stack of papers that I refinanced my house this year because I bought it when I had a high interest rate, got it down about 1.5% inch. So the stack today is like this. Matter of fact, they don't do it by paper anymore. It's almost all digital because it's so much stuff. And you know, I'm just thinking about almost every contract today, there's so many legalese in there that to try to research all that, you're thinking, man, I'm more out of it. Every contract you see today, it's like, man, this is completely stacked against me, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm reading through it. I'm thinking, no idiot would sign this, but yeah, you have to. We have to just do all this. And so I'm just giving us an idea on some of these things. But here's the concept is this. Those that strike hands, get into something quickly. So don't be one of those. And it goes on to this. Making an agreement without counting the cost is foolish. Making an agreement without counting the cost is foolish. Verse 26, it says, be not one of them that strike hands or of them that are sureties for debts. So suretyship itself is not an unlawful thing. That's number two. Suretyship is not an unlawful thing. But A, for some, it is very hurtful. For some, it is very hurtful. It can be the kind of situation where you can get in over your head. So for some, it is very hurtful. B, to all, it is dangerous. Okay? There is a, when we say dangerous, we can say there's a risk involved, right? So let's get to number three. Roman numeral three. The second greatest commandment. We'll talk about the second greatest commandment too often. Let's turn over and keep your place here because we're going to be back to Proverbs. But I want us to go over to Mark chapter 12. Go to Mark chapter 12. It's kind of funny sometimes. Like, what's the greatest? No, let's go to the second greatest today. All right, let's see. Second grade. Mark chapter 12 and in verse 28. And one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So, I want us to see something. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at a few things and then we're going to... The concept here, then we're going to go back and unfold a little bit. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 14. The Bible says it this way. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Look over to James. James in chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 8. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Okay, so A, loving our neighbor as ourselves is the command that the Lord has given. That's the command. I want y'all to follow this, my thinking here for a minute this evening. Loving our neighbor as ourselves is the commandment given. Back in Proverbs 22, verse 27. If thou hast nothing to pay. You ever been there? Yeah. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? Okay. So we're given solid. Here's the challenge with the Proverbs, okay? They're kind of poetic at times. And Solomon is given a thought. He's given it in a poetic way. It's a lot of this a long time. So sometimes it's not given kind of exactly clear. And so he kind of deals with this thing. So why should they take your bed away? Right? That's kind of weird. Sometimes we get these kind of phrases that, of course, you know, if you know, we know some kind of verbiage that we would use, that we know clearly what it means, but we have to kind of unfold it a little bit here. So, number one, the hasty decision of suretyship may cause one to love a neighbor better than themselves. So here can be a problem. This thing of suretyship, and you know, when we say suretyship, you're like, sometimes I say it like, yeah, duh, everybody knows what suretyship means. But it's kind of a weird word. We don't use suretyship. Some of you are like, exactly, what do you mean? Well, it really just means, in a sense, is you put collateral for someone else. Okay? Or you become the collateral, as it talks about there in Psalms. You become the collateral. And so, you owe... you know, you've bought a car and you owe $20,000 on the car, and I signed for you saying if they don't pay, I will. So you know really what I'm putting up for collateral? I'm putting up my credit in this day and age. And that day and age, they put up their own stuff. They said if they don't pay for it, I'll pay for it. What we're putting up is our credit, or, you know, that person, they don't have enough credit to get the loan. So they'll get credit on my name. But I'll tell you what, if they don't pay, it comes to the person that's being surety for them, or being, we call it today, a lot of times we'll call it a co-signer in that kind of way. And so the hasty decision of suretyship may cause one to love a neighbor better than themselves. And so, A, this is to step beyond the instruction of the Lord. So, can a person really love too much? That's hard. You don't want to answer that, do you? Can you love too much? Well, I mean, is there really a such thing as loving someone better than yourself? If I love them better than myself, that sounds like a pretty good thing, right? This is what we do. We extrapolate things to go beyond what God actually is instructing us to do. And by the way, this is standard human nature is what we want to take what the Word of God says, and we want to add our wisdom and our thinking to it, and we extrapolate it into equaling something else. It's a challenge for us. It really is. So we've got to find, what is it that God wants? What is He dealing with here? B, it can be a mighty difficult thing to discern the precise state and situation of the one seeking your suretyship. Okay? So, even though they could be a close friend or a family member, you're like, well, no, you know I'm good for it. You know I am. You know I'm good for it. You know, as long as we, you know I'm good for it. Right? And you're like, yeah, I know, and I know you ain't. You know what I'm saying? And so we want to say, well, they're friends, though, and they're family, and what you got to do for your kids. So number one, a person who has squandered their own living in foolish decisions is now seeking your help. Right? They've squandered away their living in foolish decisions. Now they come to you and say, hey, I'm in this situation. Can you co-sign for me? Should you be one of them, as it says here, that strikes hands without the ability to pay, you will also lose. So here's what it said. He said, you know, those that strike hands and become surety for debts, if thou hast nothing to pay, okay? Listen, number two, again, these words of wisdom are a pleasant thing, okay? No, I'm not talking about the stuff of problem. I'm talking about wisdom is going to make life pleasant for you. It really is. It's so somebody comes up to you and says, hey, I need you to do this. I need you to, listen, I'm going to do this thing. All I need you to do is just stand outside this door and watch and tell me if anybody's coming. That's all I need you to do. Right? Does that sound like on the up and up? Sounds pretty honest, right? No. And you know what we say? We get ourselves in turmoil. Oh, no, I know I'm not supposed to do this, but what do I do? No. Here's the pleasantness of it. Yeah, I can't be involved in that. I'm sorry. I just, you know, I want to live to please the Lord. I just don't, for His sake, I don't do that. And so somebody gets a little upset with you, but then they know you're going to follow the Lord in this. Somebody says, hey, I just want to make this deal, and I know it's a little bit, you know, but can you do this? You're like, no, I don't live like that. They say, hey, I want you to come and do this on Sunday. Can y'all, we're going to go and have this thing on Sunday. You're like, no, I've got something I do because it's not you. It's me. I'm going to follow the Lord. It's not about you. If you do it a Saturday or Monday, I'm there with you. But because it's pleasant. See what I'm saying? It becomes pleasant that wisdom is already now in my heart. It's on my lips now. And so it becomes pleasant. So number two, again, these words are meant to be pleasant. Did I say that already? Again, these words of wisdom are a pleasant thing. Did I give you that one? They will make life pleasant or they will keep life pleasant. So three, the wisdom is this. A, count the cost. Are you able to pay? If you're not, you'll be taking from your own family to transfer to this one. Hey, listen, if some of my kids come up and say, hey, Daddy, can you co-sign for me to get this loan? I've co-signed for my kids to get loans a couple times. But you know what I realize? If I've got to be ready to cover the loan that they're going to make. If I don't have the money to cover the loan that they were going to pay if they didn't, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to lose food. Maybe I'm going to lose my house. You know what I might lose? My bed. That's what it's talking about. When it says my bed, what it's talking about is your home. That's what it's talking about. If you don't have to pay, don't get involved with that thing. So count the cost. B, count the cost. Is it a need you are helping to secure? There's a lot of different thing I would do for somebody that has a need to get a car so they can go to work so they don't borrow mine all the time. You know what I'm saying? You know, or there's a need of somebody trying to. By the way, first thing is, can I afford to pay? If you can't afford to pay, you better stay out of it. There's the wisdom. If you can't afford to pay, stay out of it. Because otherwise, you're going to take not only from you, you're going to take the one that already didn't make good decisions. You say, well, maybe they just had bad luck. Okay. Bad luck. Okay. They just seem to have a lot of bad luck behind their good decisions, right? Is that normally how it works? No. I'm not saying we have circumstances, but usually we get ourselves in those kind of circumstances because we make poor decisions. We, Not they, we who do that. So because somebody does that, for me to put my family in that and to treat them better than myself, it's not wisdom. It's not wisdom. And so I'm going to lose two is what he said. If you don't have it. So four. Let me say that I didn't finish this. So B, count the cost. Is it a need? Sometimes in our attempt to help others, we are enabling them in their poor life choices. Sometimes when we help people in this way, we're actually enabling them in the already poor life choices to continue those life choices. Number four, sometimes we will find that surety is a way to love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes it is. That's why it's in here. That's why we find it. So here's it. And I want to stand with it. Let's endeavor to love to their help and not to their hurt. Right? Love them as ourself. That will often take patience. It's often going to take patience. And so, you know who doesn't like patience? The angry man. Don't be surety for that fella or that lady. Okay? Listen, as I was thinking about these thoughts, I thought, you know, the Bible says we're to esteem each other better than ourselves. Right? I don't know if did any of y'all come to that verse come to your mind? As soon as I started thinking about this, I'm thinking, now the Bible says esteem others better than themselves. But in that, it's not talking about how we treat them. It's how we give honor and respect. And it's a different deal altogether. There's some wisdom here, folks. Some wisdom here, how we deal with other people. And it's pleasant when we know the wisdom of God and we're following it and saying, it's not my will, but thine be done. Let's all stand. Father, I pray that you would bless tonight these truths. And Lord, you really do have answers for us for every question in life. And Lord, you've given us these things in your word. And Lord, you've directed us on how to live a pleasant life and really pleasant among people. And Lord, the world may not always like our decisions or always think they're the best, but Lord, when we are secure in following you, it's so pleasant, so pleasant. Lord, pray that you'd bless, Lord, help us tonight, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name.